where Southern Colorado comes to talk the world's game. It's The Other Football Show with Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden. Presented by Colorado Springs Switchbacks FC on Extra Sports 1300.
Here we go, The Other Football Show. Ryan, Chris with you. We got a lot to talk about, but I think there's really one subject in the world right now. Biggest probably topic in all of soccer right now, sans Manchester United, sans U.S. men's national team picking a weird lineup to play against Mexico. If you want to chime in at all, you can text us 719-286-0046. Cristiano Ronaldo. Ryan and I, a couple weeks ago, went back and forth talking about Ronaldo, Messi, and I think really statistically right now, you have to go with Ronaldo. Now, the big controversy was everyone says Messi's soccer is natural. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I think it means that he was born with a gift, but he has to work too. But Cristiano Ronaldo, not only was he born with tons of great gifts, he's worked very hard to get to where he is today. And I'm just going to say it. Like, he's probably one of the best-looking guys on the face of the planet. He doesn't even look real. Like, he looks plastic. It looks like a made-up person out of a test tube or in a lab or something like that. I mean, it doesn't feel real. Like, with Tom Brady in football, we've got the combine picture. We know what that looks like. We know what Tom Brady looked like at the combine. Cristiano Ronaldo looks like he was born out of a test tube, and there he is. So, Ryan, Cristiano Ronaldo doesn't want to be at Real Madrid anymore. What was your first thoughts on this?
Surprise. I mean, my first thought was, that's nice that he wants to leave. No one can afford him. That was my initial thought. The release fee in his contract is, like, I haven't even done the math, but just 887 million pounds or something like that, or euros or whatever. It's about $1 billion. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of money that somebody would have to pay in order to afford him. Now, backing up a little bit, what this is all about, because there's been, you know, some people think that maybe is he unhappy? Does he want to, you know, go try something else? Blah blah blah. Well, here's the thing. So the other day he was banged by the tax man in Spain.
Yes.
Okay.
Very much like Messi was in Argentina.
Exactly. So the source that told ESPN that he wanted to leave said, quote, he is outraged, feels great indignation with all the speculation about, for example, the tax story, and he believes he was unfairly and disproportionately singled out as an example, despite having voluntarily paid taxes. He is, in fact, a victim of persecution in Spain, and the situation has reached its limit with so much injustice. So he is determined to leave Spain. Yes, let's see what will happen, but he is very, very mad with all these things. So that's the impetus behind this, is the tax thing. It's not necessarily a we haven't seen anything that suggests that it's anything wrong with Real Madrid or him looking at another club somewhere else and wanting to go there. It is almost solely based on his tax situation, which the operative thing in there is that he's tired of what he perceives as persecution in Spain.
Would you agree? You want to do the top four? We'll get into this. We'll get into this.
Well, we're already rolling.
Okay.
We're already rolling.
So
it's fine.
If you were Cristiano Ronaldo, would you feel the same way? Because I dug into this a little bit, And I think he has a point.
Okay, I don't know. I have a copacetic relationship with the IRS.
Me too. I just pay my taxes. I hope they never know my name.
I don't owe back taxes. I haven't been audited, knock on wood. I don't make enough for them to really to catch on their radar.
They're like, we're lucky we got what we got out of that Kaufman guy.
Right. Here, you know what? Here's a little something. Go buy yourself something nice. That's exactly the IRS tells me every year. So I don't know. I mean, all right. That's fine. If you feel that way, I'm not going to call Cristiano Ronaldo a liar. I feel like persecution is a little bit strong.
But if he's
treated unfairly, there are plenty of people in this country that feel like they're treated poorly by the IRS.
Let's go back to the semantics of the word persecution, because you and I both believe that is probably – he used too strong of a word there, because we know what persecution is. I think what he meant to say is they put a spotlight on him.
And they singled him out.
Yes. And I think that is a fairer term to use than persecution, because we all know what persecution is. But the fact of the matter is I want to stick with the money here, because you talked about the transfer money, and it's upwards of $1 billion. So me being the business guy I am, I went and looked what Cristiano Ronaldo's real value is. Listen to this number. Cristiano Ronaldo produced nearly $1 billion in value for sponsors on social media. $1 billion only on social media. This doesn't have anything to do with his production on the field, endorsements on TV. He has produced $1 billion for his sponsors on social media. So what I'm saying to you is the $1 billion buyout fee, or whatever they call it, that if the number wasn't a billion, it wouldn't shock us. But I think for the right company, whether it's Virgin America, I mean, you got to pick the right company. That would be a interesting investment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think $1 billion is too much for Cristiano Ronaldo, and I think that you could get that down. But I think that if the club is partnered with the right sponsor, I think Cristiano Ronaldo, though, is worth every penny of that $1 billion.
Okay, best player in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't disagree
in the most important game in the world.
Okay, and I believe that you're right when you say that he would have that kind of value. Here's the issue that I look at. From you look at the most valuable teams. I have Forbes' list in front of me, the 10 most valuable soccer teams in the world. Okay. And I'm looking at it and saying, who can afford to make the play? Because you can't go and secure, I mean, you can have a wink-wink deal with somebody, but in all honesty, you have to be able to put up the cash to Real Madrid in order to exercise his release clause. Then you have to pay his somewhere in the neighborhood of 32 million euros is what I was able to find as far as his wages. Okay, so you have to do all that before you can secure the sponsorship, the influx of money. And let's also keep in mind when I go through this list that many of these clubs already probably have pretty lucrative endorsements and sponsorships. So how much more money can they squeeze out of those sponsors? So just keep that in mind as I go through the list. These are top 10, and this is basically all the clubs that are worth a billion or more.
The whole club is worth a billion. Okay.
So I would say, yeah, they haven't made a billion, but I'm no financial whiz, but I would assume if you're worth over a billion, you could either cough up half of the money or be able to be loaned the rest of the money. I don't know how it works, but I'm saying a $1 billion club should theoretically be able to afford a $1 billion player. Okay, so here we go. Tottenham Hotspur is worth just over $1 billion.
Isn't that weird to you a little bit?
Harry Kane, they're going to have to sell off Harry Kane in order to bring in Ronaldo because they just can't afford, they wouldn't be able to afford it, and they would need to sell a player. And from my standpoint, Harry Kane is the only player on that roster that you look at and you can conceivably get a ton of money for. Okay, so Tottenham Hotspur is not going to do it. And then there's the other side of Cristiano Ronaldo gets to basically choose where he goes. Okay, mm-hmm. So he's not going to Tottenham, and Tottenham can't afford him unless they, you know, get rid of Harry Kane, which then what kind of a team is that for Ronaldo to play for? Juventus is worth $1.26 billion. Liverpool is worth $1.49 billion. Chelsea is worth $1.85 billion. Arsenal's $1.93 billion. Now we crack the top five in the $2 billion clubs. Manchester City at $2.08 billion. Bayern Munich at $2.71 billion. Real Madrid, obviously, he's not going back there. FC Barcelona is $3.64 billion. And Manchester United at $3.69 billion.
That's the one that keeps coming to mind.
Right. Well, you just go process of elimination. He wants to get out of Spain. If you believe it, take him at his word, he wants out of Spain. He won't go to Barcelona. And he's certainly not going to play on the same field as Lionel Messi. So you could take out Barcelona and Madrid. That leaves eight teams. I already made the case on why Tottenham Hotspur doesn't work. So that's seven teams. Stan Kroenke would never pay, even if it was Cristiano Ronaldo. We know how he operates.
Right.
So that's now down to six clubs that
he would
play for.
You don't think he might dig into his Walmart money and be like, this might be interesting for about 5 years?
No.
No?
I don't believe that he would be willing to do that. Stan Kroenke, the way he operates, every team up in, now it's the Rams and Arsenal, but before is the Nuggets, is the Avalanche, all that stuff. Everybody has their own operating budget, and you can also make the case because Josh Kroenke's job is being the governor of the Nuggets and the Avalanche, that Stan Kroenke is still footing the bill for those franchises to some extent. The way he operates, everybody gets their allotted amount of money.
Yeah.
It's not, he's not frugal. You know, he doesn't force his teams to live on breadcrumbs. But if you go over the salary cap, if he has to play luxury tax or whatever, it's conniption. I don't think that he'd be willing to buy Ronaldo. So then it takes you down to what, six teams? And then, like I said, I can make the same case for Juventus as Tottenham. It doesn't make fiscal sense for them to buy a player for what their entire club is worth. So that really leaves you, and Chelsea, Liverpool can be the same way. There's really only the top five teams, which we've already eliminated two. So you're looking at United, Munich, and City. Those are the only three clubs outside of Spain that could realistically afford Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, Bayern Munich is interesting. I don't see a lot of reasons why Bayern wouldn't be interested.
No,
in
but that would seems like it would be a weird pairing for some reason. Just eyeball test.
It does seem a little bit weird. Aaron tweets at us a picture of Cristiano Ronaldo in a Bayern Munich jersey. It looks good. He looks good in red. But also, if you're looking at Bayern Munich, while having Cristiano Ronaldo sounds great, you're already dominating your league.
Yes.
You are right now a Champions League contender. Really, it took Ronaldo in some very Ronaldo, pro Ronaldo officiating for you to get knocked out in Champions League. So right. You got to feel like we could spend far less than that and get one or two more pieces to put us in a better position to take down Real Madrid. So I don't believe that Bayern, because they got beat by Real Madrid this year, is willing to invest that type of money to make sure that they beat him when, you know, maybe next year they end up being on opposite sides and they don't play to the final. So I don't see it from Bayern Munich's perspective. So that really leaves United and City. And from United and City's point of view, I see two teams that aren't incredibly successful in Europe, in the Champions League anyway. Kudos to Manchester United for winning Europa League. But they're not successful in Champions League.
Right.
They could theoretically afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I mean, that's really the two. And you mentioned United. So go ahead.
Makes a lot of sense to me, going United. Home and all that. Let me blow your mind for a second here. So one thing we talk about on this show is the relevancy of the MLS, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled up the Forbes list of the most valuable MLS teams. So right now the Seattle Sounders are worth $285 million. They're only generating $52 million in revenue. The Galaxy are just a bit behind them at $265. So down at 10, they're worth $180. What if I'm just saying what
I
if
think
here.
I like where you're going with this, because I think I had the same thought.
What if the MLS pulled their money, somehow figured out how to get Cristiano Ronaldo, the best player in the world, over here to the States right now, and just let him play here? Like that, like as far as a league goes, that makes a lot of sense. Now, is it fair to the rest of the teams, the one he doesn't land on? No, it's not at all. But that could be the first shoe to drop. Literally, it would be relevant. MLS would be in the news every single day. There are plenty of great businesses here in the United States that would be willing to partner with an MLS club to get up close to that $1 billion, because – I think that is something that if people wanted to think outside of the box a little bit to make the MLS relevant in the world, something like this has to happen. Otherwise, we're going to be waiting decades until we're going to have all these old players. This is where we are right now. The highest played player in the MLS right now is Kaká, and he's making $7.4 million from Orlando and two in endorsements. We go all the way down to Jozy Altidore. He's making $6.4 million. That's the 10th. I mean, this is chump change to these guys.
Yes, and I'm not totally – wasn't totally on the same track, mm-hmm. ended up being on the same track. Here was what I was thinking. And Aaron does point out on the text line at 286-0046. There are Chinese clubs –
would pay that, no problem.
AC Milan, I think, has Chinese investors or owners that would be willing to put it up potentially. We've seen the ridiculous money that Chinese clubs throw out there. So I guess you have to throw them in there.
Yeah.
I'm looking for money-wise. But I believe that Cristiano Ronaldo wants to have his cake and eat it too. Cristiano Ronaldo, if we go with this theory that he wants to leave, and he is determined to leave, and the former president of Real Madrid said it this week that it's very difficult to change his mind once he has something in his head.
I believe that.
So let's just go with the idea that he is determined to leave.
Okay.
Why would somebody who we may consider the best player in the world, but yet is not clearly he goes over to China and plays for a Chinese team, which I don't even know how that league is set up, how many teams are in it. I couldn't name one team that plays in China.
Right.
He would go over there basically to a soccer barren wasteland where, you know, yeah, I guess he would get into Champions League. I guess China. Well, no.
I don't think
no,
so.
No, because
yeah.
It's not in Europe. Why would I say
that?
Because
the MLS can't get in. We get in that weird
right.
league. Yeah.
I apologize. It's 8 in the morning. So he wouldn't be able to play Champions League.
Nope.
He wouldn't be able to win any club titles or league titles that anybody would care about.
Right.
So now all Cristiano Ronaldo
plus
could do,
he wouldn't get the media coverage. If, like, if he came to the U.S., you'd get the media. I think it would be a little shut off if he went to China.
Perhaps. I mean, they got like a bazillion people over there. So I think he'd still get his
it's not the
attention,
same.
But it's not the same kind of attention.
Emmanuel Mudiay
it's
went
not
to China.
The same kind of it. It's not the attention that Ronaldo craves.
Bingo.
But that would leave for his legacy building to add to his legacy. Because remember, Messi is 2 years younger than him.
Right, because that's what I was going to say. Ronaldo's 32. How many more years does he have at this level? Three?
Three, four, probably.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, look, I think that he has the option to play at a big club for the rest of his career. I don't think he's going
right,
to
no, I agree with that.
Go into exile and play out his remaining years.
What if he got ownership of the MLS? I mean, what if like that is the only way to grow this thing to relevancy.
Yeah, well, okay. So for all the reasons I say, the China thing doesn't make any sense. Really, international football is all he could do to add to his legacy. And he cares very much about his legacy. So he wouldn't go to China. Okay. The MLS idea. Part of what we've been railing against with MLS is Atlanta and Minnesota and these other clubs that are coming down the pike in the next few years. Mm-hmm. With MLS, it's frustrating at times the way they operate. It makes it difficult for them, I think, from a popularity standpoint, to really be placed on the map because of the way that they are built with the allocation order mm-hmm. and everything like that. Honestly, one of the best things for MLS's relevance is if it became the Wild West like any other league and LA Galaxy and New York Red Bulls and NYCFC could just buy every good player that's coming over, then you would say, yeah, well, the entire league's not great, but we have a few clubs that are legit
right,
in there.
Exactly.
But
I agree with that.
But the way that MLS wants to grow is they want to be solvent financially. They want to be able to continue to grow. Everybody at the table gets theirs everything like that. And it's frustrating at times.
I'd rather have it like it is in the NBA right now.
But trying to bring in Cristiano Ronaldo would crater this league. They can't afford it. They just wouldn't be able to afford Cristiano Ronaldo at this stage to pay his release fee. Now, if he just became this free agent, then maybe MLS could justify paying his wages. But to pay for MLS to pay Real Madrid $1 billion, it just flies in the face of everything that Don Garber and the MLS has built.
But maybe
over the
they
past
should
decade.
Do that because it's not really working that great.
Well, I mean, it depends on what metric you're using. I mean,
I'm looking at these dollars, and they're it's bad. That's what I'm
from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
I would make the argument that from a financial standpoint, that's their strength.
Well, and I think this is the reason why players don't that everybody wants to play in the NBA and the NHL because the money's bigger. You don't see people leaving it to go to other leagues because it's not enough money. And I think basically what the MLS is where guys go to die at the end of their career.
It's still very, very much viewed that way. Or an American looking to kind of hit the reset button like a Michael Bradley or
right.
Josie
it's like
Altador.
When MLB players go to Japan to play their last 3 years and make bank.
That's not an unfair statement.
Right.
I mean, Tim Howard.
Exactly.
Right? But so I just think that MLS, it would be a complete paradigm shift from what they've been doing. I think that they would argue that the league is strong because of the way that they are, that they're fiscally responsible and the way that they're built. As frustrating as it is as fans, as a business, I think that a lot of people look at MLS and say it's pretty strong. So really, that if you as we continue to cross things off the list, really it arrives at City or United. Now, my thought was, and I don't know how to get around the allocation order. But if City and the New York Yankees had some kind of a deal in place where, like, this is complete fantasy land, but just hear me out.
Because this is
City and the Yankees own New York City FC together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's their partnership.
Oh.
So they foot the bill, and basically it is Ronaldo, we combine and pay the release clause.
Uh-huh.
We pool our money together. You go play for City for X number of years. Okay? Then in 2 or 3 years' time,
you do the David Beckham.
You come over to the United States and you become property of New York City FC, and you play out whatever, however many years in America, in MLS. I don't know how to get around the allocation order, but I think it speaks to how colossal of an ask this is from any club to pay Real Madrid what it would take to get Cristiano Ronaldo.
Can they come off that number?
Everything's up for negotiation. But if you're Real Madrid, why would you? Cristiano Ronaldo's fault is not with you, so why are you so motivated to negotiate your asking price down if Cristiano Ronaldo's problem is with the Spanish government and not with Real Madrid? There's no...
But in order to facilitate, you might have to come off it a bit. To make
perhaps,
it happen.
Perhaps, but again, how much motivation is there to grant Ronaldo this request, you know, in order to, because he's upset at the Spanish government. Now, if his ire turns to Real Madrid, then maybe something happens. But from all accounts, it's with the Spanish government. It's not with Real Madrid. The only potential destination that I can see, one, would be fiscally reckless enough to pay this, desperate enough from a competitive standpoint to pay this, would be Manchester United.
Yes.
And would be and also the third thing would be a club that Ronaldo would consider going to. Now, my only worry with that, I think it checks all the boxes. I think, again,
that's
they're
the only
desperate
one that makes
enough
sense
to compete.
To me. Yeah.
Desperate enough to compete. They are they're both valuable enough, but then also at the same time, they are reckless enough to throw their money around to try and secure this.
Right.
The only thing that I can't figure out, Ronaldo speaks highly, of Manchester United.
Yeah.
But he was there when Alex Ferguson was there.
That's
and
true.
As we understand, the world is a very different place now without Sir Alex Ferguson managing Manchester United.
Right.
Would Jose Mourinho's Manchester United look, would going back to Manchester United now be the same thing as him going back 3 or 4 years ago?
I see those two butting heads hardcore.
Well, I just think that while he may have enjoyed being at Manchester United, I think he enjoyed Sir Alex Ferguson more. So if Sir Alex isn't managing that club anymore, why would Ronaldo want to go there? Maybe he just loves Old Trafford and London, Manchester, and everything like that. Maybe he does. But to me, when I hear Ronaldo speak about how fondly he looks back at his time at United, it's because of Sir Alex. It's not because of the city of Manchester or playing in the Premier League or anything like that. So I'll leave United on the table as an option. But here's really to encapsulate everything. Ronaldo knows basically what we just discussed. He understands the economics of it. And he understands that Real Madrid is not going to want to play ball. That they're going to do everything they can to get as much out of this as possible if it were to come to fruition.
Yeah,
I think this is Ronaldo running off at the mouth when he's upset, which far be it from anyone of us to judge on somebody who gets a little bit ticked off and says some things that he may not mean.
This is true.
His deal is with the Spanish government, And ultimately what he's looking to see is if he can get some kind of resolution with this. If Real Madrid can put pressure on the government, if the government can look at these threats as bad for Spanish business to have Cristiano Ronaldo out of the country playing somewhere else, right now he is throwing something out there in order to try and make something happen with the tax thing.
Well, and we can't displace the fact that the country of Spain makes money for Cristiano Ronaldo being in the country.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Their
but
GDP
that's what he's saying.
Is nice right
he's
now.
He's saying Real Madrid, go do something. He's saying, Spanish government, you really want to mess with me? I'll leave and then see how, you just said, $1 billion worth to advertisers.
Right.
Most of those advertisers are what? Putting money into Spain.
Right.
So I just think right now it's him trying to swing for the fences and see if the tax man in Spain will back off. He loves Real Madrid.
Right.
He doesn't want to leave. He's winning championships both in Europe and in Spain.
He's got a nice group of guys there to play with.
Right. He can continue to stay one or two steps ahead of Lionel Messi, maybe even win enough to where he can secure his legacy, even though Lionel Messi is 2 years his junior. So I don't believe that he actually wants to leave. Now, could it turn into that? Sure. But at this point, we're looking at a guy who's frustrated with what he believes is persecution, and he's trying to pull out all the stops to get this to go away. If it goes away, he's going to stay in Spain.
True.
And my guess is Lionel Messi ended up getting, what, a 19-month sentence that ended up getting commuted?
Right.
Why can't Ronaldo come out with the same outcome?
It's so weird that the two best players in the world have tax issues. I think Messi can blame his on his dad.
They make too much money.
Who can do that math? Come on, man. Anyway, like we thought it was going to happen, Cristiano Ronaldo dominated more than 50% of the other football show. A couple things to talk about also. The Colorado Springs Switchbacks got a nice win in L.A., 2-1. Also, the Rapids beat the OKC Energy 3-2. The Energy pushed the Rapids to the brink also. The Rapids will be taking on the Portland Timbers at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. We're going to get into all that next. You're listening to The Other Football Show. Stick around.
Alley 19! 19, Sally, 19!
Wrong football. This is The Other Football Show on Extra Sports 1300.
The Other Football Show, Ryan, Chris with you. The United States men and women's soccer teams have been very busy the last few weeks, Ryan.
Indeed.
Lots of stuff going down. Something interesting happened. I'm just going to throw this. This is a throwaway comment. If you're interested to find out the dynamics of the U.S. women's soccer team, go Google about the numbers. It's very interesting to find out what's going on with the back of the shirts for the U.S. women's national team. I'm just saying it because us as guys, I don't think we care that much. What's on there? Okay. I mean, even like we talked about this in minor league baseball, there's some funny names out there. They go out there wearing jumbo shrimp jerseys. Biscuits, jerseys, stuff like that, but the ladies are upset about the numbers. Anyway, Ryan.
Well, I think that I know that we're a few days removed from this, but we really haven't had the proper forum to discuss the Mexico
Azteca
result.
It was awesome. I loved that game. In fact, what was on at the same time? Was it the Stanley Cup Finals or the NBA
Finals? Stanley Cup Finals.
I watched the soccer match.
I did too. But it worked out.
Right, it
because
did.
I watched the match in its entirety. I flipped over and it was still 0-0 in the Stanley
right,
Cup
exactly.
game.
Right,
so worked,
yeah, exactly.
Worked out for everybody. I will stick to my guns that the best 11 was not out there for Bruce Arena. I will fight anyone to the death that argues with me on that. That was not the best 11 players, okay?
No, and let me tell you this. So I had my daughter who's played college soccer and her boyfriend that follows this stuff hardcore, and he played in college as well. He's like, Beasley still plays? That was his exact words.
Right. That was one on the Switchbacks Coaches Show on Monday. Steve Treachew and I had a talk on air and also off air with the U.S. men's national team.
Mm-hmm.
The one player, he and I did not see eye to eye when it came to the tactical decisions and the personnel that Bruce Arena had in there.
Okay.
One guy that even Steve Treachew thought was puzzling was DeMarcus Beasley. Okay.
Right.
But he liked pretty much everything else. Brad Guzan, you had to play him because Tim Howard coming off of surgery needs more rest time. That was the story, I believe. Fine.
Okay.
That's fine. So Tim Howard's not in there. I can justify that. All right. But there were still personnel issues. What I didn't like is what Bruce Arena did on purpose. He didn't go with the best 11. What he did was he found everyone on his squad that is most familiar with Mexico.
Which is like an idiotic idea, if you ask me. I think it's stupid.
I don't understand it either. They did the whole the tents or whatever
right. That
they slept in, and they just played in Colorado. And I understand that an extra 2,000 feet makes a difference. But I don't know. I just feel like he went
but a
so
Beasley,
far.
An old Beasley body at that right. moment is a better – if we're just talking like physicality.
Right.
I mean, when I heard him say that, I go – because I don't have a problem yet with Bruce Arena, but I'm like, that's just – why did – that's stupid.
That's just dumb. I don't understand why Paul Arriola is a better choice than Darlington Nagbe.
He is not.
In what world? He's not.
Mm-mm.
But because he currently plays in Mexico, Bruce Arena thought that it would benefit. Now, so look, it's beating a dead horse.
Right.
Three or four guys in that lineup shouldn't have been in there, in my opinion.
So who is it? It's Beasley.
Well,
Arriola.
Guzan, if you want to say that, but I can be okay with the reasoning. That was a health issue, not a tactical one.
Right.
Beasley, Arriola. I'm trying to think who else.
Fabian Johnson
wasn't in there. I liked Acosta and Bradley in the midfield. I like that pairing. I love that he started Bobby Wood. Kudos to Bruce Arena for that. Love that. Pulisic obviously was a good idea. Omar Gonzalez I thought was going to start, and I'm cool with that.
Bobby
so
Wood
I guess
took
it
like
was
elbows
those,
to the face a couple times early on.
I guess it was though. I think there's one more defender that
Why
was in that
Dempsey
lineup.
Why didn't Dempsey play? Just because? Was that coach's decision?
Well, and look, I think that he made the right decision because I think that Dempsey doesn't fit with this personnel. I don't think he does, and I think the move of Bobby Wood.
But Bobby Wood needs a holding forward with him, whether it's Altidore or Dempsey doesn't really play that way. Because Bobby Wood, I agree with you. He's probably my favorite striker on the team, but he needs someone to play with him. And it worked well with Jozy Altidore for a while, but mm-hmm. that hasn't been happening really recently.
Right. Let's see. Yedlin, Gonzalez, Bradley, Beasley, Wood, Pulisic, Arriola, Guzan, Ream, Acosta, and Jeff Cameron. So I guess my issues was with Beasley, with Arriola, and with Guzan. Guzan, I've come to grips with post-match. Nobody knew why Guzan was in there until after the match was over and Arena said it's because Howard needs more time in between
right.
starts to rest. So I guess I guess those would be the only two that I saw that that I wasn't a huge fan of. But here's the bottom line with U.S. soccer. They got a point in Azteca. They got a point. And while I disagree, and I'm not going to say that a result makes everything all better and now and I'm dumb and have egg on my face. No. I think that match was more of a referendum on Mexico than it was a look how far the U.S. has come. I believe that Mexico
played
horribly.
I was going to say that because I think the goal wasn't a goal you're going to get every day. Honestly, I don't even know how that happened.
No, I just think that Mexico played poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that it's more about that than the U.S.'s improvement under Bruce Arena. However, you got a point at Azteca. Going into, after the tie in, they were going into this last these couple of matches.
Right.
Midway through the hex,
the misstep
you look
against
at
Panama
it and you say, beat Trinidad,
mm-hmm.
and then you can lose at Azteca.
Right.
We don't want to lose, but you can form a World Cup qualifier.
Right.
You beat Trinidad. You don't look great doing it, but a win is a win, right?
Right.
And then you take a point in Mexico. So that exceeded my expectation. So for that, I have to give Bruce Arena a little bit of credit. I don't believe that ultimately playing Beasley and Areola led to the win. I think that there were other. I think Acosta and Bradley in the midfield was a big reason. Obviously, Bradley with the goal, but I just mean from the way that they played.
But I think Bradley's work rate in every single game, it starts off pretty good at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the end of the game, he barely gets touches on the ball.
No, nor should he. He's a defensive midfielder. He shouldn't have the ball all the time.
No, but he should be around the ball.
Yeah, maybe. We've discussed this. We're fighting an uphill battle when it comes to Michael Bradley's spot. But I do like, and I think it's more about Kellen Acosta than it is about Michael Bradley. I like Acosta in there next to him, and I think that that's a good fit. But that's not saying that, you know, I've totally apologized for everything I've said about Michael Bradley. I still have my doubts about him. But the addition of Kellen Acosta next to him in the midfield has really made a difference. Jeff Cameron was great, I thought.
Yes, he was.
Christian Pulisic put a lot of pressure on himself by saying what he said after the match in Denver. I thought that he wasn't great, but he didn't disappear completely.
No.
I thought Omar Gonzalez was a great fit on there. So there was a lot to like. But ultimately, if you look at the macro view of things, a great result, but it was... But Mexico gave the U.S. that result to a large extent, and things will have to get better, but
that was a brain fart by the keeper, man.
I mean, mission accomplished, though. I mean,
fine.
Beasley got beat for that goal. I understand Guzan was screened. I understand help should come. Beasley got...
But he did what the defender should do from out there. He took him to the help, at least. But
he was burnt toast, okay? Beasley got beat. So that obviously playing him because he's familiar with Mexico.
But the guy
didn't
take
really
a shot till he got in the middle of the frame.
Okay, but I'm saying
but yes,
somebody
he did
else
get
doesn't
beat.
Lose him.
No, he did get beat, but there was no help. So.
Another defender doesn't lose him like Beasley did. Okay.
That's true.
But so it's I still have my reservations about Bruce Arena really bringing this team forward, but in another sense, he has brought this team forward because nobody would have expected them to even get a point after that tie in Panama. Would even believe they would get a point. Was it Panama or Honduras? Anyway.
I think it was Panama.
Okay.
I keep that.
But after that tie, nobody thought that they were going to get 4 points from Trinidad and from Mexico. So you give credit where credit is due.
Right.
But I'm not going all
but
in
maybe
on Bruce
Arena's learned a little bit. He's like, all right, that was a good idea. Before we leave this, dude, Christian Pulisic, I love him. I did not realize how wafy he is. He needs to get a little stronger. And that's going to come with time. That's going to come with time. I was like, oh, my God, look at him. What does he weigh, 130 pounds soaking wet? Holy cow, man. He's skinny. Anyway, you're listening to The Other Football Show right here on Extra Sports 1300. There's a lot of stuff going down in the soccer world. We're going to get to all that next. Stick around,
sir.
The referee has looked at his watch. The show is not over yet. It's stoppage time on The Other Football Show.
Welcome back, The Other Football Show. I got special prizes for all of you that are listening. Ryan and I love our listeners, and I'm going to reward you right now. Not a great
one. I was critical of my fade down of the music.
Oh, okay. No, it was good. It was good because I raised my voice loud, and I think it scared you. But anyway, we have two tickets for the Switchbacks v. San Antonio FC at Widener Field Saturday, June 24th. It is.
Biggie.
I heard that the San Antonio FC is pretty good.
They are.
This
they
just
are currently second in the standings. They have not lost.
No.
They've tied, including a tie with the Switchbacks, but they have not lost.
So these are really good tickets. So the first person to text, let's go third person, to text in Switchbacks to 719-286-0046. Again, text Switchbacks to 719-286-0046, and you will, if you're the third texter, you win. Confederation Cup real quick, Ryan.
Russia plays New Zealand. That's it.
That's it?
It's like the World Cup. The hosts play the first day. So Russia plays New Zealand. Vladimir Putin speaking right now. There's no translator, so you have no idea what he's saying, apparently.
He's like, I did not interfere with the American election, and there is no global warming.
I did see Jared Kushner is sitting with him. No, I'm just kidding. Not that type of show. So Russia plays New Zealand. Russia will probably win that. Then tomorrow, the action gets going a little bit. How about Chicharito and Ronaldo going head-to-head tomorrow morning?
Oh, that'll be fun.
9 a.m., Cameroon and Chile, find your own reason to watch that. But Portugal-Mexico should be fun.
How come the U.S. the U.S. get good enough to play in some of this fun stuff? Do you think the U.S. could get out of the CONCACAF and get over in the Euro so we can play in the Champions? Like, that's the only
Mexico's in CONCACAF.
So? That's
so it's
it.
Not CONCACAF. It's just that we're not good.
That's your only measuring stick.
Right. Australia, Germany on Monday. And then the team start back.
How do
back
you qualify
around.
For Confederations Cup? Do you know? I just put you on the spot. Like, I think, man, I just want it to be, I want the American soccer to be like every other American sport. Where everyone comes here to play.
You can host. That's okay. One way.
Okay.
Okay, so it's the Cup of Nations, your Gold Cup.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is also coming up here shortly. Gold Cup, Bruce Arena says that most of his biggest players are not going to play.
In the Gold Cup?
In the Gold Cup. But that's how I thought you qualified, but I want to verify, yes.
So why wouldn't he have his people play in it?
Because, I don't know, his sights are set on the World Cup.
I mean, come on, man.
It's frustrating.
Because I really want to root for these guys, and I want them to be good.
We have this thing where we get frustrated when, Open Cup, we get frustrated when teams marginalize the Open Cup. We get frustrated when Bruce Arena marginalizes the Gold Cup.
Right.
We just want everybody playing every competition. I know sometimes it's not feasible, but I don't understand why in the middle of the summer – guys like Christian Pulisic and stuff that play in leagues that aren't going on can, I don't know.
He's like, go play in the Gold Cup. Anyway, Ryan, what's the name of the video game show that's coming up next?
Checkpoint Radio.
Checkpoint Radio. That's next. Stick around for it. It's awesome. About gamers. We're going to, Ryan and I talk to him all the time. Listen to Drive Time Sports Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. Catch you next Saturday.